ahead and get started. This topic, demo hosting with virtual machines, is by Jason Nichols. He's a engineer with IBM Tivoli NetCool Solutions that spent you spent a few years in the United States, but came to your senses and came back.
Right.
So go ahead, Jason. Oh, and if anybody wants to ask questions, just wave at me so I can get you the mic so they can be recorded.
So, I have been based in the U.S. the last 4 years, and I just migrated back. My email address is my personal address here because my U.S. IBM address isn't operational anymore, and my Australian one hasn't been sorted out yet. So, if you happen to need to contact me after the talk or whenever, please use that instead. All right, so what I wanted to do is change things up a little bit for the end of the day, and I wanted to talk about a project that I've been working on the last 1.5 years, and it's a case study. We're doing some demo hosting inside of virtual machines. And the reason I decided to do this is I went to a VMware session. It was a one-day thing. And they had some customers come in. And these customers talked about their virtual environments. And I found it quite interesting just listening to what they're doing. And I thought I'd do the same thing and share with you guys what I've been up to. So before I get into the details, I just wanted to cover some of the virtual machine uses that I've come across over the last few years, and I'm sure you've seen these, if not more, and I'll just quickly run through this. So at this VMware session, they had one customer who's a supplier of earth-moving equipment and stuff like that, and they had a lot of different stores all over the place, and for whatever reason, they had lots and lots of little legacy applications running on separate servers, and for them, a big motivator to look at virtualization is just simply server consolidation. And that's the first point I've got up there. Server consolidation for them meant, you know, when hardware fails or whatever, instead of having to buy a new machine, which is most likely to be way more powerful than required, they could buy systems and then put multiple virtual machines on there, and they went from literally hundreds of servers only to a handful. So it was a big big gain for them. Now the second customer was actually Adobe, who you probably all heard of, and they're a big development shop. They produce lots of software and they support many different operating systems and operating system versions. So just think for a minute all the hassles that they must have doing that, but one way they've tried to reduce this burden is by producing a massive library of base virtual machine images that cover pretty much any x86 operating system and version that they support with their software, and then they also have a framework around it so they can track license usage and all the rest of it. But it was a very cool system that looked like they had built. And this is a very common use of virtual machines, multi-platform development, test, and support. And it's possibly, as a technical conference, probably the one that you guys have been using virtualization for as well. My own experience, though, has been primarily to run Windows on my laptop in a virtual machine because I much prefer Linux. Unfortunately, I sometimes need to run Windows applications. And I like doing that in the VM instead. So I didn't know what to call it, so I said desktop consolidation, I guess. Sometimes the approach would be multiple different boxes. I've got a laptop for Linux, a laptop for Windows, maybe a box for Solaris. Unfortunately, if you need Solaris and on UltraSpec, you can't do it right now, but you could run x86 Solaris in there. And then another common use for myself and probably all you guys too is just experimentation and messing about. You know, you want to try some experimental operating system or just try out some new version of the operating system that you use but not necessarily replace what you've got on your system. and I found that quite useful. This last point here, purpose-built, ready-to-go VMs, covers a pretty broad range of uses. VMware call this kind of thing virtual appliances. We even have an example at the conference when I was reading the attendees' mailing list. I noticed that the Myth TV tutorial includes ready-to-go virtual machines, so the people going to that tutorial, if they don't have the time or they're too lazy, like myself, to actually do the prep work. So, you know, that's kind of like this purpose-built, ready-to-go VM kind of idea. And I'm, like I said, I'm probably missing a whole bunch of different things, but I'm sure if you've got something that I have, you can shout out and let me know. So some background to this actual case study, though. I've been working with Micromuse for about 5 years. And you might not have heard of Micromuse, but you may have heard of our software brand, Netcool. And last year, we were bought by IBM Software Group, and now we live under the Tivoli umbrella. And Netcool software and Tivoli software is big enterprise stuff. You know, they sell it to large financial companies, service providers, telcos. And with it comes long sales cycles. Unfortunately, sales guys as well. And lots of presentations, demos, and proof of concepts where sales engineers may need to go to a customer site, install software, and demo it in front of them, you know, so the customer believes what's going on. I had been working as a sales engineer as well, so that's the sort of thing that I was doing, and giving demos and all this stuff. And I knew the pain of having to build demos over and over again of pretty low quality each time, because you just don't have a large enough time to spend, you know, weeks preparing this demo for one customer, throw it away, and then go on to the next thing. So typically they're low quality demos unless you kept something and kept building on top of it. And that's kind of where this project that I'm working on now originated. And it was championed by someone else in the company, a grassroots effort to build a demo system. And now this was quite a while ago, so there wasn't really any virtualization solutions, and maybe VMware was there, but no one would have heard of it in our company, that I was working with at least. And so, you know, what we started with was what you see up here, this first thing, just a bunch of applications, some configuration, and you ran it on your own equipment. But that wasn't exactly crash hot. The user had to do quite a lot of stuff. So the next evolution was this one in the middle, where we had a hosted demo system. We ran it, and we made it available remotely via the web. And it was pretty simple. It was one host, just a handful of applications, and that's why it fit on one host. And only one user could use it at a time, though. Then we moved on to even grander idea, where we added additional applications into the mix, still web accessible, one user at a time. So we've got, you know, this situation now where we're dealing with multiple servers, and our goal isn't just to keep things on one server. Our goal is, that old saying, the sum is greater than. Oh no, I'm doing a George Bush. I've got it written here. Yeah, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. There we go. So since many of the apps, were too large to fit on a single host for the equipment that we had, and we also had to support multiple operating systems because of the applications, we ended up having about six hosts for this third iteration. And that was when I became involved in the project as well. I had initially been roped in for some specific applications, but then I was I noticed that the guy that was doing all the technical back end was a Linux geek. I liked the way that was put together, and you know, he was doing it on his spare time. So I decided to give him a helping hand, and I was working on it in my spare time as well. You know, doing this Linux stuff, etc. The only downside, of course, was, like I said, we had to support some of the other operating systems, specifically Solaris and Windows. But even then, we didn't have any VMs at this point, and that was maybe 2 years ago. We didn't have any VMs running on 6 hosts, one user at a time, and we really struck a bottleneck. We hit some scalability problems because the demo had gained quite a lot of popularity over the years, and one concurrent user was just simply not enough. And the other issue was we didn't have a demo copy. So if you can imagine, this system is booked out all the time. We can't really have any downtime, so we can't really update it. So we're in a pretty bad position, and you know, you might cringe at that, but remember, it was grassroots. No one was working on it full time. Everyone was doing this as an aside to their main job. On the upside, though, because of the popularity, it got executive recognition, and we got some full time positions, and I moved into a full time position just to work on the demo, and we got some budget, which was a good thing too. So that's where the fourth iteration comes in, and that's when I start to look at virtualization to solve some of our problems that we ran into. So these are the demo system considerations that we had. So multiple simultaneous users, we needed to enable and accelerate demo development because it was at a standstill. Copies must keep the same network configuration. Allow users to access application administration interfaces to change the demo. We also wanted to make the demo portable, and we needed good performance because it was a demo system. We showed to customers it can't be slow as a dog. So on that first point, what I'll do is I'll go through each of these and kind of go through my process in determining, you know, whether virtualization would work or not. So with the multiple simultaneous users, regardless of the virtual machines, we'd still need physical servers to host, right? So it's just a matter of maybe more physical servers if we're running it on the bare metal versus in virtual machines. But the advantage of using VMs is it doesn't actually matter what is the physical box. That could change over time because stuff just changes over time. You might not be able to buy the same hardware when you need to add capacities. A component might fail, so you have to replace it with something else because the identical component is no longer available, whatever. So VMware or VMs in general abstract that for us. So we can have our boxes, our virtual machines isolated from the underlying hardware. And that was a big plus because we didn't want to have to support the demo on multiple hardware platforms. Because we're running VMs, as it turns out, we were able to get the final fourth iteration to run on one physical host. So if we were running on the bare metal, we would be looking at, you know, at least a 2-host, maybe 3 or 4-host system. So we are, in effect, getting some server consolidation by looking at a virtual machine environment. On enabling and accelerating demo development, simply having multiple demo copies, whether it was on physical equipment or virtual, was a big plus compared to what we had before. So either way, it didn't really matter. Copies must be kept on the same network configuration. And this is because we've got lots of applications, lots of bits of glue in there, and the underlying IPs and network configuration has to remain the same, otherwise it just would break. And VMware provides a solution here because they isolate the network in the same way that the hardware's abstracted. And we can configure the whole whole set of VMs in a particular way and then just have that replicated on different instances of VMware. So with GSX, VMware GSX and VMware Server, we're looking at NAT networking. With VMware ESX, we're looking at separate virtual switches. I'm not sure if your experience with VMware, but that may make sense to you. Yeah, so like I said, similar to the hardware case, we're able to abstract out the network configuration and keep it constant. Allow users to access application administrator interfaces. So the demo up until this point, third iteration there, it had a lot of applications in there. You could interact with it and all the rest of it, but you couldn't change it because it was up 24/7, and if you made a change, that would follow on to the next demo user. And one of the reasons why it was a success is because it was repeatable and predictable. The SEs knew what they were getting when they went into the demo system. You couldn't have it changing on them. And now this is easily solved with virtual machines because the user can go in there, use the VMs. At the end of it, we can just discard any changes, or you could just overwrite the virtual machines. You know, there's a variety of ways you can do it. That would guarantee that the users start with a clean set every time when they do a demo. We also wanted to make the demo portable. So for a variety of reasons, really. And, you know, we could possibly come up with applications and configurations and lots of documentation on how to build it yourself, or maybe try to write an installer that did it, but that would have been a lot of effort. On the other hand, with the VMs, we can give the VM images to them. It takes a bit of time to download them because of the size, but and then a short document on how to configure VMware to run the thing. And we decided, you know, that's a big plus there for making the demo portable. And there was quite a lot of demand for users to have their own copies in certain circumstances. So this last point, good performance. Now that was the real negative against virtualization. We weren't 100% sure what the performance was going to be like if we moved into virtual machines. We certainly knew that there was an overhead using VMware, and you were limited to single or dual core, single or two core SMP, and also with VMware, 3.6 gigabytes of RAM per virtual machine. So it doesn't matter if you've got 20 gigs or whatever RAM on your physical host, you could only allocate 3.6 gigs of RAM to the virtual machines. But even with that, a performance issue problem, which was an unknown, not really a problem at that point, just a feasibility issue, virtualization seemed like the best approach for us. And that's also because we needed to run Linux and Windows, and there wasn't really anything else on offer. Although, from what I understand, I should really be revisiting Xen as well, and I probably will do that sometime this year, I think. And also some of the stuff that John was mentioning this morning, for those of you that were in that talk, you know, with image management and stuff, may come in handy in my situation as well. So the next thing was, decided that we're going to use a virtualized approach, and we needed to plan for it and work out what to do. So we're limited to x86 operating systems. So we had some Solaris stuff. We either had to drop it or look whether the application supported Windows or Linux. And in our case, there wasn't any real issue there. It just meant that we had to have a Windows box because it was one application, or two applications in particular, that didn't run on Linux, but they did on Windows. Minimize system requirements. So we were trying to proactively mitigate this performance unknown by looking at what our applications are doing, what we're trying to achieve with the demo, and paring it down as much as possible, and also keeping in consideration that we had very limited memory on the systems, and also processing power, one or two CPUs. Optimize application placement across VMs. This is kind of like a hindsight thing. I don't think it really was in our initial planning, but it should be see in yours if you did something like this. As it turns out, if you're running multiple VMs on a single host, and you've got CPU-intensive applications, and they all happen to be in one VM, even though you might have four VMs, you might peg one CPU on the box, and even though your physical host might have multiple CPUs, they're going to be unused. So you need to be mindful of that and split up your applications if they're CPU-intensive across separate VMs. And what I found is, for whatever reason, we're using virtual SMP, which means that each VM host would have access to two physical CPUs potentially, offered worse performance for me. I think overall throughput might have increased, but it had higher latencies involved, and that just made the demo laggier, or it felt laggier. So that further restricted our environment because it meant each VM would only have one access to up to one CPU, which was a bit of a pain. So the other thing was overall management system. We can't just have these VMs, all these physical servers. You know, what's all the magic that's going to be pulling it together to get it working? And our end users need to do something like this. They've got a demo they need to give, and it's in the future. They need to book it so they can reserve the system for use. They need to be told if there's no capacity. When the time comes, the system needs to provision the demo and provide them with access details. So those are all rather important things to do with our planning stage. And then this is kind of how the implementation turned out. And it was actually quite strange. As we were doing this, we came across a company, and it was in some conference that we're attending, that specifically do virtual machine hosting in the way that we needed it, with production servers and a booking system and all this automatic provisioning. So it's not your typical virtual hosting system where you want, say, root to a box that's hosted somewhere, and they do it by supplying you a virtual machine versus a physical host because it's cheaper for them. It's server consolidation on their side. This, they're specifically providing services around virtual machine environments. And it meant that we could save a lot of time because we didn't have to implement it ourselves. Now, the geek in me definitely wanted to do it. And if that was the case, maybe I'd be here talking about something similar to what John was this morning. But we didn't have the time, and so we decided to go with this other company. So in the architecture, what you see is we have a file server, and this is where the master demo VM images live. We have a management server, which handles all the bookings and provisioning duties. And then we have production servers, and I have, you know, three there, but really, you know, that's as much as you want. That's your capacity. And each of those represents one concurrent demo user. Like I said, as it turns out, it worked out to be one physical host for one copy of the demo, but it could have been split across multiple hosts if one physical host wasn't powerful enough. So if we take a closer look at the actual demo virtual machines in our implementation here, it works out to be on an ESX VMware server, three Linux boxes, two Windows boxes, and they communicate using a VM-only virtual switch. So it's isolated networking that they talk to each other on. Linux One also happens to have an external interface which goes to a separate virtual switch, and that has access to external networking through firewalls or whatever it happens to be. So what happens when someone provisions a demo is these five virtual machines are put onto a production server. Now, when I say put on, I don't even know what happens there because we didn't implement it. It's probably, I know they do some form of caching, so they check if the images are up to date, because you don't want to be copying. So if the images are up to date, it just starts them up. If they're not up to date, it needs to make a copy. Wait. Everything comes up. And then they've got some management pieces of emails the person who scheduled the demo and says, it's ready, here's your IP address, whatever. So then the person who's giving a demo can come in and access via that IP address port 80 for a web-based demo or port 3389 for WTS, which is routed back through Linux One to get to the WinXP host. So, you know, it's a fairly complex architecture on its own, but, you know, we've managed to get it in there into a virtual equivalent architecture sitting on top of ESX. And this is what the demo looks like. I didn't want to keep talking the whole time without showing what it was for. I can't really go into any more detail than that, but there's something like 9 applications, or maybe a few more. And this is a composite view of multiple different applications, etc. Only made possible thanks to VMware. So the lessons and challenges, and we had a few here, with plenty of disk space, because what we found was, you know, never mind the one master copy you've got in that file server. There's, you know, backup copies. There's older versions, there's development ones, there's testing ones. You need tons of disk space, basically. Just consider that and buy lots of disks in advance. It depends on your VM sizes. I think all ours all up are about just over 100 gigs or something crazy. Performance issues are harder to track down. And where we have a physical host that has 4 CPUs and 5 virtual machines running on it, you've got more complexity there because you've got the physical host, you've got VMware itself, which might be causing issues, and you've also got the VMs to consider. So just keep that in mind. I wasn't prepared for that, and I had to spend more time than I expected debugging problems and stuff like that. VMware GSX and server. Set the VM process CPU affinity for better performance. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you've got 5 virtual machines, 4 CPUs, the Linux scheduler is scheduling them however it's doing it, but it didn't seem to be offering us the best performance. Just by chance, we happened to know which of our VMs are more CPU intensive and then use task set to tie them to different CPUs. We found the responsiveness improved and also the overall performance improved. So I don't know why that's the case. I'm not a kernel hacker, unfortunately. Otherwise, I might have investigated it. Or maybe it's VMware's problem. I don't know. But just consider that if you've got VMs using a lot of CPU and a few of them on the same host, you might need to use task set to tie them to particular CPUs to avoid this type of issue. Consider how to perform ongoing VM updates. Now, if you rolled your own complete system, this is probably not an issue. It's an issue for us because we have to deal with that third-party VM hosting company. We're at their mercy, basically. We don't have access to their computers or their network, so we can't just copy stuff over easily. What they had done for us, though, is they set up what they call a staging server, which is a copy of the VMs, all 5 of them, up and running, that we have access to, just the VMs, not the underlying host. What I end up doing is, in development, I've got the staging servers and the development servers, and I say Linux One, I use rsync to synchronize the file systems for particular changes that I may have made. The problem, though, is Windows, because you can't do that, and it might change registry and settings, and, of course, every Windows application installs files into every directory on the whole system. So we have to manually replicate those changes. We need to record the things that we do on our side and then replicate it on the staging side. And the other issue for us was once we're ready, we then need to put in a support request to say, take the staging images and put them in the file server for our demo users to use. So just consider that it may even apply to a lesser extent, even if you control the whole system, if your production servers are in a different location to your development, because you're still dealing with big files, and copying big files frequently gets tiresome because of the slowness of it. Revision control. Now, this is probably because I've been a bit lazy, but our VMs include lots of scripts, glue code and Perl and shell scripts, whatever, and also system configuration, you know, init.d, run level scripts, cron jobs, other stuff in /etc, etc. And we're not dealing just with one host, we're dealing with 5 VMs, and 2 of them are Windows. And I don't have a really practical way to put all that stuff in a revision control system and be able to check it out and what have you. Because I definitely want those pluses, because you can always go look back in your history, see what changes were made, because potentially it's easy to break something in this demo system. But for the moment, all I'm doing is keeping backups of the complete VM set, which, like I said, takes up plenty of disk. Reconsider third-party hosting. So due to the update issues I was mentioning, on hindsight, I would have much preferred to keep things in-house, and we'll probably look at that moving forward. It did save a lot of time up front. And I'm not sure if anyone's heard of an Australian company that does anything like that, where they've got like a virtual environment for VM sets and do the provisioning and booking for you. Probably not, but interesting idea at least if it was implemented a bit better. So we also had some unintended consequences by moving to virtualization, and the infrastructure can support different demos. There's the same infrastructure, so what we saw back here, there's no reason why the file server couldn't have different demos on there as well as our existing demo. You know, you'd also need to modify the management server to give the user a selection of available demos when they make a booking, and then at the scheduled time, it needs to copy the appropriate images across. And we're definitely looking at that, because there's other people's demos that we'd like to put on there for convenience purposes. And then back here. So demo users are using the system for broader purposes. Before, when the system was booked out, we didn't have the capacity, people only got in there and left just to do their presentations, and that's about it. But now we've got more capacity, and they're not worried about modifying the environment because their changes are thrown away when they're finished demoing. We've got people doing customization prior to demos now, which is nice. They're using it as a sandbox for testing things out. So instead of installing an application on their laptop or whatever, it's easier for them to book the demo and try something and then let it go away. And they're also using it for training. Again, same idea, really. They don't need to install anything. They can just use it. And we also found that some in-demo application issues became easier to resolve. So even though Tivoli software is a NetCool software is actually perfect, we would occasionally run into some issues, believe it or not. And now it's possible with the VMs to hand them over to the developers or bring up a copy and give them access. And that was a really a good thing for us, because usually the problems that we ran into were fairly technical, and it's easier if the developer can get in there and get their hands dirty and work it out. So, to sum up, our demo system goals were met primarily thanks to virtualization. We faced some new challenges due to the limitations and performance considerations, so it was a bit of a negative, but they weren't showstoppers, and the new system outperforms the old one thanks to some tweaking we did. And some additional benefits came about due to virtualization. Those unintended consequences. So we're pretty happy, and now we can start moving ahead, making more rapid updates to the demo, because that's what the demand is coming in. So that's all I wanted to cover. Any questions, though?
Did you look at the option of like putting the virtuals on the laptops for the sales guys?
Oh yeah, that's an option, and that's the mission of lots of other people within the organisation. You know, they've got one or handful of applications they want to run. They put it in a virtual machine. They make it available for people to run on their laptops. In our case, our goal was that whole, you know, all the applications integrated together, and it just simply was too big to fit on your laptop. The final system there that it runs on is a 4 CPU box with 10 gigs of RAM and high-speed SCSI disks to support all the disk I/O. So most people aren't carrying that around in their bag, and if you tried to shoehorn it down into a laptop, you'd lose a lot of what we're trying to achieve. So that is definitely an option, and you see that all the time. But our goal was slightly different.
Any other questions? Okay, then with that.